You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
Your guy, Tiger, you chirped him on Twitter, firing up the engine in the parking lot. Just drained a massive birdie.
Well, it was brought to my attention. He's got the yacht going on down in New York.
So it's just sitting there on the water?
Well, yeah, basically. Can you trunk slam a yacht?
Comfortably.
No, you just, what you do
I would love to trunk slam the yacht.
You just press a button and your captain just fires up the boat. And you say, I'll be there in 20 minutes.
I found it fascinating watching a bit before I came in how Tiger Woods is 12 behind the leader. And they're acting like if he gets up and down, he still has a chance. Like, he's got to make this to get... You just said it. What's the sense of him making the cut?
I don't even know why you would want to make the cut. Honestly, if you're Tiger, you either win the tournament or you might as well miss the tournament.
Withdraw.
Yeah, because nobody cares if you have a big weekend and you battle and you show some sort of consistency and perseverance. Nobody cares about that.
If he ends up coming in ninth, you don't care.
I don't care. I don't think he would care. I don't think he would walk away from the weekend. Let's say he, because he is dancing with the cut line. Yeah. Like, he is doing a two-step with the cut line right now.
Earlier, it was like around plus three. Yeah.
That's where I believe it still is.
Yeah.
And, like, Brooks Koepka is gone. Like, Koepka is gone, and you talk about this guy just smacking around Tiger Woods and making a point to Tiger. Like, good for you. You got your green jacket. I was chasing you. I almost had you at Augusta. Yeah. But I talked a big game all week. You were lucky enough to be paired with me, not the other way around. Because I'm the big shooter on tour now.
And I just gave you a lesson in respect.
Yeah. But and I'm Koepka's 10 under for the tournament, and Tiger's, was he two over? He's 12 back. 12 back of a guy who's playing in his group.
But in a candid moment, would you rather see Koepka play or Tiger?
Well, obviously Tiger Woods.
That's Tiger.
But that's not the way it works.
Tiger can lean over and go, you're right, I'm Tiger Woods. You're Koepka. So know your lane. Yeah, you're playing well, but I'm Tiger Woods. I'm worth $1 billion.
Yeah, and you're past your prime. And well, put it this way, I love Tiger Woods. I love Tiger Woods. He won the Masters. Everyone knows it.
Right.
If you are just simply being objective and you put these guys in 10 tournaments over the next 2 years, anybody that would put money on Tiger Woods outperforming Brooks Koepka, I think, is
doesn't know the game.
Crazy. Or is a super fan and just can't look past how much they love Tiger Woods, which I understand. I love watching Tiger perform. What he did a month ago was amazing.
Yeah, it was
incredible theater.
It was
awesome. It's going to be way more entertaining what happened a month ago than anything that's going to happen the rest of the week. But Koepka is in his prime. He's in his 20s and he's money. Tiger's not.
You're looking at just straight golf, not the people behind the score, just the scores, the hits, everything. Like, that's Koepka's a superior player consistently over the next 10 tournaments.
Yeah.
That's what you would say.
Absolutely.
This guy, he is a machine. Like, Tiger is getting a dose of what it was like for maybe Ernie or Phil back in the day watching, like, playing with him. Like, when he was crushing people at the U.S. Open, he was 10 under par and everyone else was scraping it around at plus. Like, he is getting a first-hand look at what that felt like.
Yeah, he really is. Like, he is watching Brooks Koepka put on an absolute clinic.
Like, do you remember that U.S. Open at Pebble? He won it at, like, we got to get the actual score, but he was, like, 10 under, and Ernie Els was second at, like, plus 5. It was a joke.
Pull up the scores
for that Open. I forget what. It might have been 2000. U.S. Open at Pebble, Tiger won. He was under par deep, and the next guy was chopping broccoli for second place.
Second place is pretty good money, too.
Yeah, it's still really good money. But that's
Tiger
the thing.
Doesn't
Tiger
care.
Doesn't
Ninth
money.
Place for you know, 80 grand, he doesn't care. Or whatever the purse is.
He doesn't need money. I honestly think if you just pulled him aside and said, dude, do you want to just miss the cut and go home?
He was minus 12. Second place. Plus 3.
So it's 15.
15.
That was a
third.
That
was what?
The grappler. He said plus 12 there for a second, but he He got a little ahead of himself.
Right. Third grapples. Couldn't have. Yeah, grapples is hungover today. It's long weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Third wasn't plus 12.
I was going to say, I don't think that's possible.
He must have pressed page down or something, and it went.
He quickly went, never mind.
It's all good, though. It's Friday.
Yeah, why it not? Is Friday.
Let him mail
well, it feels like a Friday going into a long weekend. Like,
nice the weather. Only problem is we're coming back in here on Monday.
Yeah, we're here on Monday. And the highways are packed. Like, people cannot wait to get out of the city.
Yeah.
And
I'm going up to Collingwood. I'm dreading what it's going to be like when we leave here at 7. Typically, you can, like, it kind of settles down at that time.
Not on a Friday long weekend, though.
Not the first one. Like, this is the party. This is the opening track of the summer. This weekend, it always has been. It
always will
be. Big
shiny tunes.
This is where you bring out big shiny tunes, number 7 or whatever. They're up to like number 28
now.
I think they still make them.
I remember when they made
them. Dude, no, they don't. How could they make them? There's no more CDs.
Well, whatever it is, I don't know, on iTunes or something. Yeah, people still buy CDs.
Yeah.
You can find new CDs. I think you have to. I mean, there's still a certain generation. They don't.
I don't know what to do with mine.
Really? What is the CD place called in the malls that we used to go to?
Well, there used to be HMV. There used to be
Sam's.
There's
no such. They don't even exist.
Yeah, I don't know if they do either.
I don't think they do.
It's like a Blockbuster.
Grubby discs and movies and stuff at convenience stores now. That's the only place you can find it.
Yeah, and you go to like a Walmart or something.
Yeah, still have a rack of all old movies and CDs.
Yeah.
I was going through. I had to organize my basement the other day. I had some shelves put in. I'm not lying. Like, I'm not being a hero or anything. Like, I've got about 3,000 DVDs. And I snapped a picture of a bunch of them because they're just rows and rows and rows and deep. I used to buy them all the time. And
what are you going to do with them?
I don't know what to do. Like, I wanted to.
You're going
to
leave them for Dylan.
Probably. And they, you know,
they're going to have to deal with it.
40 years from now, they'll be like, oh, look at these things they used to put movies on. Like, I don't know what to do with them, but I don't want to throw them out yet. Like, some of them still have the wrapper on them where I played 1999 for them. I used to just, it was kind of a little bit of an obsession of mine. I used to
now
buy
you're hoarding.
the new releases every week from HMV.
Right.
I don't know what to do with them now. And the same thing with CDs. I had them put into books, and I've got book after book.
Yeah,
after
I remember doing that. Yeah. Well, remember burning and making your own mixtape? Like, you would make your own. Basically, your best hits, whatever you wanted to put on it. Cassettes were the worst.
My favorite part about it, though, was just looking at all the movies I've seen. Like, there were some random ones that you forget, like Hudson Hawk with Bruce Willis. We were talking about Bruce Willis the other day.
And you probably paid like $29.99 for that.
Yeah, I think probably anywhere. I used to range from $14.99 right up to $29.99 if it was like the new release right then.
Well, the only I think they still do that with video games. Like, you have to buy the disc.
Yeah.
Which I don't know why that hasn't been upgraded. Like, how far away are we from that? It's maybe I'm missing it.
Cash.
But maybe it could be the case. But like, why can't these companies, these are massive technological companies, build a console where it's just like you download the games. You still got to pay the same amount.
Yeah.
But why are you going to the store? You can't do that, Grapples? Okay, so there you go.
See the.
Yeah, because why would you ever go and buy like the new Madden or whatever? Just download it onto your console. You know what I'm saying?
I just.
Like, if you got a PS4 or whatever, just download it right into it and play it whenever you want to play it.
I just Googled
this. I think that's the new wave.
It's got to be.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, even while I was saying that, I'm like, I'm assuming I'm not the one thinking of this.
Yeah, I'm sure they
like, do. I'm pretty sure some other guy figured that out a while ago.
HMV, I think, is still rolling.
It used to be great going into. You went to the mall, and it would be packed in there. And remember, there would be little listening stations where you could listen to, like, the albums, and you could decide whether or not you wanted to buy them or not.
Now, I think records have come back full circle. We were talking about it with the Tat Man the other day. He's got his record player.
Yeah, he gears down in his cowboy boots.
Yeah. O asked him if he gets right down to his tidy whities and then just dances around the house listening to
He his kicks records. Back in his underwear and plays music.
He's Tom Cruise in what's that? What's the name
Risky
of
Business.
Risky Business. Yeah.
Well, it's called vinyl now. It's so pretentious. It's,
oh, really?
They're not records anymore. It's vinyl.
Well, you can't say
it's
records?
Gotta be. No, you're not allowed to anymore. It's like it's like a hipster thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, I've got this new vinyl. That's just a record. Just it's a no record. Better or worse than it was 30 years ago when it came out. Yeah. But now, because it's you know, I guess...
There's no different. It's a record.
No, it's the exact same record. They haven't upgraded the way they make records. They're still records.
Yeah.
And it's a record player, and that's the way it goes.
I've got a great idea for today.
What do you got?
How many holes does Tiger Woods have left?
I think he's on the back nine now. Like, he's close to it anyway.
Do you think the fans, and I think they would, and Grapples, you can tell me if this is doable. When he's hitting every shot, we go to it.
I don't think we can.
I don't think we have the audio for that, and no, we definitely can't.
Yeah, I don't think that's something.
They're through nine, so Koepka's at 10 under. Jordan Spieth had a great day. He's at 5 under.
Who's so, trunk slamming, though? Like, who are the legitimate...
Well, there are guys
who are...
We've
got the segment today, right? Like, that's going to be...
Yeah, we can do it. I mean, Andrew Filbert, he's at 26 over on the tournament.
Wow.
Yeah, he was an 84-82, and he started his engine before he even teed off. Before he even went to the range, he just kept it running. And he
it's
just...
It's pretty ballsy to play the second day.
Well, I guess
he's a
nobody, though.
He's not even a professional. He's a PGA pro.
You're happy to be there. This guy knew when he showed up. He's like, I'm not making the cut. He probably knew he wasn't going to break 80.
But to tell you how difficult the setup was, he'll probably go back to his course where he's a pro at, which is probably a nice golf course, and he'll shoot 67 tomorrow. And he just blew an 84 and an 82 at that course.
Well, did you see who posted a 68 recently?
I did not.
You guys hear about this story?
No.
So,
look at the score. Just tell me the score under the 68.
All right. Well, let me break down what happened here, okay?
Okay.
The USGA Golf Handicap Information Network.
This is Jamie when you log into a computer and you post your scores and it pumps out a handicap.
Right. Okay. It calculates your handicap. Yep.
So if you pumped in 100, 100, 100, 100, it'll say you're a 25 handicap. Okay. You're a chop.
Yeah. And you've got to be honest with this. If you want to play in tournaments.
Right.
Now, you can lie. The computer's not going to know it, but you're supposed to have an honor system here. So if you shot an 88, post an 88. Don't say an 84. Don't say, just give me the bogey there.
No, never mind. You're not going to lie about the... you're not going to undercut. People lie over. They'll be like...
So they get more strokes. Right. But you know what I'm saying.
Like, well, anyway, a gentleman clicked into this.
First time in 2019, Donald J. Trump...
Oh.
You want to take a guess at what he posted?
For a score or for his handicap?
He put the first score he has put in 2019. Let me point this out.
68? 69?
A 68. He claims he shot a 68 somewhere. And he had the audacity to post that into the system. The last time he shot around and actually posted it was in October of 2018. And somehow he shot a 96. So he has shaved off 28 strokes.
That's hilarious.
He lies. Oh, he lies.
Like, how do you have the stones to put a 68 into the system and think that no one's going to flag it when you're the president of the country?
Like, Trump National. I used to play Trump National.
Is it
West
a good
Palm.
Course?
Amazing. You'll never play a nicer kept course. Waterfalls, rocks, cart paths that are made of gold. It's ridiculous. And on the walls, like club champion Donald Trump.
Oh, every single time. There was a story that
club
came
champion
out.
Donald Trump.
Did you hear the story that I think it was in Rick Riley's book? Now, it's been challenged, so we should point this out.
Yes.
But... I guess he missed the club championship.
Yeah.
And he came back, and there was a guy who had won it, and he was playing. Trump was back, and he was playing, and the Secret Service was with him or whatever.
Right.
And he saw the guy who won the championship, and I guess he went up to him and said, hey, congrats, but actually you didn't win it because I didn't get a chance to play it.
Yeah.
And the guy's like laughing. He's like, yeah, that's so funny. He's like, no, I'm being serious. I didn't get a chance to play. Here's what we're going to do. We've got five holes left. We're going to play the remaining five, and whoever wins will be the winner.
Come on.
Apparently, this is what happened. And the guy thought he was joking, but he wasn't. And Trump played him the final five holes. You can imagine what happened. And then I guess Trump had them like take down the plaque, and he became
his course.
The club president.
He could do whatever he wants, technically, in his course. But it's kind of a jackass move.
Yeah, but people are paying fees.
Yeah.
So you don't have the right to do that. Like, these are like, I'll bet you to be a member there, what is it, 100 grand or something? Like, it would be.
To join Trump National?
Yeah.
I'll find out.
I'll bet you it's a fortune.
Yeah, you're right. It's probably a big
It's probably like 150 grand up front. And then on top of that, you're paying 25 grand a year just to you know, in fees and all that kind of stuff. It's probably a ridiculous amount of money.
So greasy to do that.
And then it's like, okay, I'm here. I won the championship, and now we're going to play five holes where the Secret Service is going up and kicking his ball into the fairway. And
or they got the hole in the pocket. They're dropping it out the pant leg. Here it is over here.
Yeah.
I love it.
Anyway, hey, listen, a 68. If That's he shot so that, funny. Good for him, but I find it hard to believe.
Yeah, that would be tough.
Anyway.
Old Donnie Trump.
Game two tonight, Raptors-Bucks. Sam Mitchell's going to join us at 5:30. We got Sam on from Milwaukee.
Ryan. 0-0-0-0-0.
We got guys with 0-0-0-0.
We got guys with a stat line of 0-0-0-0.
That's awesome. He's great for sound bites.
He'll be good. Yeah, so we'll ask him like what kind of adjustment has to come with the Raptors going into game two tonight, and is it a must win? I wouldn't say it's a must win, but it feels
it's as close to it as possible. Like I actually am confident in them.
You feel good about the Raptors tonight?
I think what you said the other day was, or yesterday, they got openings, they just didn't execute. They missed their shots. So you think Danny Green's going to stink the joint out again? I think he's going to be a guy who knows that he played poorly last game. Gasol, same thing. You're going to get Lowry and Leonard. Well, you know what you're getting from Leonard. We hope we get the same effort from Lowry. Then you start to look at Siakam, Gasol, down the line. You need that depth scoring.
Yeah, you do. I feel like you're going to get a little bit more out of Danny Green. I don't know how much more you're going to get out of him, but I think you'll get a little bit more out of him. I don't think Marcus Saul is going to be ice cold the way he was.
Right.
My concern is the bench, because it's been a concern all year, quite frankly. It just has not been very good. And if the game is going to be played at the same pace as it was a couple of nights ago, I think they're going to need some more minutes from guys on the bench. I think Serge Ibaka is going to have to play more. I think Van Vliet and Powell are going to have to play more. So we'll see. I mean, I think the jury is out from that standpoint. But I do think it's going to be a pretty long series. So
yeah,
the Raptors played, you know, 80% of that game. They played really well.
That's what I'm saying. I think that they can go in having confidence instead of going, oh, we're chasing the series down.
Like, right.
They know that they played well for three quarters. It's just the fourth, they didn't.
Yeah, exactly. They went ice cold.
Right. I agree with Nick Nurse, though. Like, let's not try to reinvent the wheel here. We had a chance to win. We were up. It's not like we have to go back to the drawing board and say, oh, my God, what the hell do we have to do here?
No, exactly.
You can't hit the panic button and say, like, this has got to change, that has got to change. Change the outcome.
Exactly.
Well, in Milwaukee, they're a good team, but they should not be a psychological monster. It should not be like what Portland is going through with Golden State,
right,
where I think they're flying back to Portland and they know it's over.
Right.
It's not like what LeBron represented. Milwaukee's a very good team. They've been a very consistent team all year. Giannis is a top 3-4 player in the world.
Right.
But I don't think they're this.
So is Kawhi.
Giant.
So that cancels out. You're right.
Exactly.
It's a pick'em.
It should be real close to a pick'em. Now they've got the advantage because they're up 1-0 and they're at home, but this should not, like, if this was, well, this happened last year against LeBron in game one. Remember, the Raptors were up, like, big going into the fourth quarter last year at home. And remember, they didn't hit a shot for, like, 11 straight shots or whatever. Right. Game one, I feel like it went into overtime, and then LeBron just said, that's enough, boom, and the series was over. That doesn't have the same feel this year. It better not be the same feel within the room for the Raptors. Because LeBron was a psychological hurdle that they couldn't overcome.
Right.
I don't think Giannis represents that. I don't think the Bucks represent that. I think Golden State does. I think LeBron did. Nobody else should. So the Raptors, there's no excuses.
No.
You've got to find a way to finish a game. You know, if you put yourself back in that position, and I think they would be lucky to be back in that position, if you're up 7 again going into the fourth quarter, that's a great spot to be in.
Yeah, you got to.
You'd sign off on that all day.
Exactly. You just got to find a way to finish, and I think their top players need to continue to do what they do.
Right.
I just got word it's $100K plus West Palm Trump, $100,000.
Yeah, to get in.
To join.
And then you're paying fees annually.
Oh yeah, you're probably playing minimum 10 a year.
Yeah, it's a fair amount of cash. Well, that's what comes with these, especially places like that, like rich spots like Palm Beach. And
there are people that are members of that course that are richer than Donald Trump.
And honestly haven't played in 5 years.
Right. They just have it there.
Those are the best. Like, I know.
I have never understood that. I have met so many wealthy people that are like, I'm a member at five different clubs. I haven't been to one in like 4 years. I'm like, I don't care how much money you have. If you don't, like, you don't go there.
I don't understand it either.
I just don't get now, it.
I don't. Everyone knows people in Toronto. Though?
Are they investments?
Well, sometimes they're equity courses.
That's what I mean.
They can be. And I guess from that standpoint, it could be. But I'm in the same boat. I know a guy he's a member at Rosedale, Lampton, doesn't play.
What are you paying for?
I don't know.
Wiping your ass with hundos.
And like Rosedale costs like a Trump type of cake. Like, it's big time cash.
One of my goals, I'm a member at two courses, no big deal. There's something that goes on at one of my courses that you would hate. There's a tee sheet online, and me and my two buddies played. And a rando is allowed to click on it and say, I'm in with you guys.
The worst. Should not be allowed.
No!
If you're paying fees, you should be allowed to block off the opportunity for other people to play with you.
I think at least a courtesy email.
Yeah, like I understand it at public courses. If you call up a public course and you say, we got a twosome, can we get on? They're going to say, yeah, but you're probably going to be paired with people.
Right.
I get it. If it's a private course and you're paying money.
Yeah, and you see a guy in the putting green with blue jeans on and he's hitting crop dusters all over the place. Although I was not much better today. But you don't want to do it. Like, you don't want to do it.
No, it's uncalled for.
You weren't good again today?
No, I was not.
I've openly told the guy, like, no.
Me too.
Do you mind
if I join you? No.
Yeah,
you
I've said that. I've said, honestly, really? we've got our own little pace and our own thing going. You can go ahead. Like, I've said, go ahead and play. Like, you can go ahead of us.
But not with us.
But this guy's like, you mind if I play? I'm like, no, the course is wide open. Go out there and play on your own.
I agree.
Not happening.
Boy, that's the, you know what that is?
It's too intimate of a, it's a 5 hour round.
Yeah, that's the silence button on the Uber.
Yes.
That's what it is. I'm not interested in getting to know you and golfing with you. Move it along.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I'm sorry, and I'm. It's, is it rude in terms of the decline? I suppose, but I didn't tell the guy to F off or anything. Yeah. I just said no. Like, I appreciate it, right. But we've got our own thing going on.
Yeah,
we're not looking for anyone to play with. Feel free to go ahead of us.
Yeah,
if not, you can play behind us or whatever.
Did he?
But
like, what did he do?
He said, "All right, I'll go play," and he took off. He was probably rattled. I don't care. Like, I came out to play. I'm not interested in the stop and chats. Hey, nice putt. And
hey, what do you do for
what do you
a
do
living?
For a living? Yeah, I'm not interested in that.
Boy, you're getting.
I knew you would not. I could imagine if it was you and you booked a time with two of your buddies, and creepy old Filippo showed up on the putting green.
Solo guy can ruin a round.
And wheeled up to the tee and said, I'm the guy that you would say literally, no, you're not.
Have you ever gone golfing just by yourself?
If I go by myself, I'm just like randomly out there. You just.
But I'm just saying, like, okay, I'm getting off the couch.
I've gone to the range, and what my plan is I'll hit some putts around the putting green.
Yeah.
And if I know buddies that are like, just I'll try to see if I know anybody that's going out, and I'll join them. But if not, I'm out.
Yeah, I've played. I've never played 18 on my own.
But you've jumped in your car with your clubs, and I'm going to go down to the club.
Yeah.
And get 9 in at least by myself.
Yeah, I've probably done that.
Wow.
I've probably done that. Usually what I would do is I would go and hit balls or something, and I'd play like 3 holes, and then I'd just pull the chute.
Right.
Because then you're further away from the clubhouse once you get out there. Yeah, I've done that.
So you're the guy, have you ever asked?
No, I never would. That's another thing. Like, it's not like I'm being a hypocrite here.
Yeah.
No, I would never go up to someone and say, oh, you look like you got, you know, an opening there. You mind if I join up? Never. I'm not putting someone on the spot like that. They don't want me to play with them.
What if they were like, no, we're good.
I would respect that. I'd be like,
thing going here. You can go ahead if you want.
I would be like, thank you, I will. I'll take the honor and I'll go ahead.
That's awesome.
And then I'd spray one into the trees and be like, you're behind me all day. This is what's coming. You're looking at this all day.
I'm not judging it. I mean, I go to movies all the time by myself. I just went to one this afternoon.
Yeah.
But like,
golf is just, it's a long round.
And there's no social aspect of a movie.
Exactly. In a movie, you sit there.
Yeah.
Yeah, like if you're playing, if it's pickup hockey or basketball, let's go. Let's all play. Whoever wants to play. I've never said, no, you can't play if you're doing that.
Although
golf is, you're a lot of standing around. Lot of chatting.
And you had an incident, though, at your gym, though, where you were playing basketball by yourself, and right. those guys asked you to move it along.
No, they did not ask me. They just started playing on my rim. And see, that was unacceptable.
See, there was a line that's a little bit of a gray area there. Because you were by yourself.
Yeah.
And a game broke out.
I had established. No, they had already been playing half court.
Yes.
They were playing half court. They established that they wanted to play half court. So I established the other end of the court on the open.
Right. Open rim.
Hoop. I'm like, I'm taking this and I'm going to take shots. And.
But then how did it spill over?
They just decided like their game ended and they broke out a new one and they decided we're playing full court now.
Yeah.
And I just said, well, I'm not moving. Like, you can go ahead, but...
On principle, too.
On principle, I am playing.
That's just on principle. Like, that was you just being
just
a hero.
Being a jackass
yeah,
more than anything else.
Yeah, just being a hero.
Yeah. All right. Ray Ferraro's coming up, our TSN hockey analyst, just after 5. We'll get into the Bruins and their win last night and tee up Game 4 of the Blues-Sharks series tonight. And we're teeing up Game 2 also. Raptors-Bucks, you can watch that on TSN and hear it right here on TSN Radio. Confirm or deny, we got one of those in the bank. Confirm or deny, we'll get to that next.